relationships, religion, reality. This is the good news on Glenn Klein Online.
In store, love is the drug, and I need to score. Showing up, hit them run. Boy meets girl, where the beat goes on. Stitched up tight, can't shake weak. Love is the drug, got a hook on me. Oh, catch that buzz. Love is the drug I'm thinking of.
Trying to catch that buzz. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It is hump day, Wednesday, September 5th, 2012. The only September 5th, the first Wednesday of September, 2012 in the history of humanity. Each week's show with our byline, Relationships, Religion, and Reality. This week, we're into reality, folks. Specifically, Chris Harrington's reality. Now, without any further ado, please welcome online from beautiful Hagadosh's. I don't think I said that right. Nacogdoches, Texas. please welcome the aforementioned Mr. Chris Harrington. Chris.
Good evening. How you doing, Glenn?
I have no complaints, but thank you for caring enough to ask.
Awesome. Very good.
I have a lot of questions, though.
Awesome. Well, if my answers don't match, I'm going to make them up as I go anyway, so whatever.
Where are you right now?
I'm in the bathroom.
Hey, you sound like you're in the bathroom. I was just saying. Are you pooping right now?
Huh? Are you not right now. It's the only place where there's not an echo or a machine. Well, there's an echo.
No, there's a serious echo, my brother, from another mother.
Okay, how about I get rid of it? How's that? Better?
Is that better, Sean? Say something.
Something.
He just gave me the little...
How's this, better?
Yeah, that's better.
All right, very good.
All right, you guys. All right. We've got the man, the legend. You know him, you love him. We can't live without him. Chris Harrington online tonight. And welcome in on this edition of the Good News on Glenn Klein Online. You guys know that, especially for those who have been paying attention for however many years or even many months that you have, that we have dealt with many topics. Primarily, it's... Chris, believe it or not, on October 4th, it's going to be 7 years that we've been doing a webcast.
Is that right?
Can you believe that? 7 years.
No.
And I've been living for 52, 53 come December 19th. And the last 7 years have been impactful, to say the least, for me.
Sure.
And I think for a lot of other folks that are listening around the planet. And I... to do something recently that I have not arrived yet, even with all the experience in 52 years, almost 53 years that I've lived on this orb. And Tonight's program, ladies and gentlemen, begins a process. Would it be fair to say, Chris, that we want to go deeper than we've been?
I think we're going to have to. You know, if you're going to move forward, you got to go deeper.
Why is that?
Because you got, not you personally, but all of us have so many layers of defenses, and in order to get down to the bottom line, you've got to just cut through the layers of defenses.
Yeah, but when I figured out, Chris,
yeah,
that myself and all of humanity, past, present, and future, were perfect and righteous in God, I thought I had my entire act together.
Well, I think that our being redeemed is a wonderful form of perfection in the universe, but it doesn't mean we understand it perfectly. And so we have this journey in front of us of understanding our own perfection.
Exactly. We want to understand more, you guys. I pretty much said all I need to say. I got to tell you, in my life, I have said pretty much everything that I know to say to this point, but I've got a lot left to learn. And so we continue on. And the subject and the objective of this particular radio show, and potentially many to come in the future, is to go deeper. Because obviously, the planet has not arrived yet. You haven't arrived. I haven't arrived. Chris has not arrived. Sean O'Halloran has not arrived. By the way, Sean is ready to take your calls. We're live. If you're listening, and it's a little after 9 o'clock on the East Coast of the United States of America, you can call us. You got questions, you got comments as we proceed here. We're live, and you can call us in North America. The Glenn Klein Online toll-free hotline is 1-800-436-3260, 800-436-3260. All over the globe, you can get right in here at 813-425-5773, 813-425-5773. We've got and we've had a discussion over these many years now, you guys, some very profound stuff. We have been deconstructing religious dogma, deconstructing legalism and bondage and guilt and fear, but we have not arrived yet. I have not arrived yet. I'm going to be using myself as an example in these broadcasts. You're welcome to join in and ask Chris questions and make comments and give insights, as we have always opened it up to. But the reality is, Chris, with all the great understanding that we have, the truth is that literally nobody, whether it be on a planetary basis or on an individual basis, in any kind of honesty at all, in any kind of retrospection and introspection at all, could say that we have arrived as a species or as an individual.
I agree. You know, we can all be more effective with our time, more effective with our lives. We could all understand more effectively. I absolutely agree. Yeah, it's a journey, and that's what we're doing. You know, if we took our own advice, you know, because we're all experts, all of us, all the time, if we took our own advice, you know, we'd all be geniuses, and we'd all have body like gods, wouldn't we?
Or we would be dead.
Yeah, it's true.
All right,
Sometimes people do things that just they just shouldn't do.
Now, right, but let's bring this around to the story of the gospel for a second.
Sure.
God killed himself, didn't he?
Hello?
No, did you hear what I said?
No, I couldn't hear it. What was it?
No, I'm saying that God himself ended up having to kill himself in the body of Yeshua, in the body of Christ. If the scriptures and the story of the New Testament is accurate, based on the scriptures, God had to kill himself in order to find peace. What are we to make of that?
Well, that's an interesting take on the story. I think that as a context, maybe most people wouldn't see it that way, because we tend to separate ourselves from God, so that we can then network our way back to God. Whereas I think God probably, I can't speak for him. He's a big boy. He can take care of himself. That's why I don't take offense on his behalf. But it seems to me that God must have known what he was doing. Otherwise, he can't be God. So he knew how the whole thing was going to turn out, and he did die on the cross. So ipso facto, you could say it that way. But I don't know that we can continue with the narrative looking at it from that point of view, because you're anthropomorphizing everything. You're making God into a human being with death and all that stuff. It's a way that human beings interpret and look at things, and that's part of our downfall, is that we have a limited perception. You know, it's a problem of parallax. You see what you see, I see what I see, but we don't see exactly the same thing. And so people always talk about understanding God, and then they'll quote when something's not quite what they want it to be. They'll say, well, you know, God's ways are not our ways.
Right.
And then when things are going their way, they'll say, this is what God thinks.
Right.
So, yeah, but it's an interesting conundrum.
All right. Before we get into the meat of this discussion, and by the way, we are going to get into the meat of this discussion,
sure.
You guys. Let's, as you guys know, most of you who are listening, and certainly Chris understands this, as does Sean and I do, that for the vast majority of Wednesday nights, we've been dealing with the issues of the scriptures as Jesus, Yeshua, in Hebrew, defined them, which is the law of the Psalms and the prophets, the interpretation and the commentaries that are the New Testament writings. And we see those, if they're consistent with the scriptures, as inspired by the creator of the universe. And he is the one, if that's accurate, my friend, he is the one that humanized this thing. He's the one that called the cross death. He talked about death, if that was inspired by God. What do you make of all that?
Well, again, you know, that's... It's from your vantage point. That's what it is.
Hold on. I asked you what you make of it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's a vantage point that you have. But see, to me, it's the issue of the proposition from the very beginning is tainted in some way, or as a friend of mine says, snake bit. All right. So
that's an ironic use of words.
There can't
actually
be any death at all, just by virtue of the fact that God exists. He's preeminent and he's ubiquitous, and so he ends up, you know, being and existing, you know, from beginning to end. So there's no death there at all. All right. So when you say that Jesus died on the cross, you know, as a human being, but again, it's this sense that we have as human beings that we like to parse things out, put them in our terms, and then reapply that to God as if God kind of meets our standard of operation. So if we're really going to be totally honest about that, we have to be philosophically open, understand that we abuse words all the time, and even the words themselves are barely even on the edge of having real meaning. And then ultimately, it's this whole proposition of our taking offense on God's behalf because we believe that we think that we have faith enough to understand what it is that some ultimate or infinite structure has. So there's a problem with our fanaticizing things from the very beginning where I just believe it so much more than you, it just has to be the way I think. And I think that dogmatizing things from the very beginning is a part of the offset that we have in terms of our separating ourselves from God. If we let go of all that and just allow God to be who he is, you know, he said even about himself, I am that I am, that's a self-pronouncing proposition. This is just how it is. Don't try to parse that out. It doesn't get any smaller than that. You know, we're at the angstrom level. That's where we are.
All right, if you guys have any trouble with some of the words or concepts of Chris Harrington, well, welcome to Chris Harrington's reality. See, he's laughing. Dude and dudettes, you guys, yeah. Hold on. Just hold on. All right, so many of you beautiful humans know that I am a life coach, and you're listening to the Life Coach's Life Coach, and I'm just going to challenge you to hang in there. I know you don't know some of these words, And these concepts are blowing your mind. But we'll bring it around. Don't you worry. I have so appreciated your help, Chris, over these.
Right.
Well, we've known each other for years, plural.
We have known each other for years.
Yeah, when I was teaching at the Gospel Revolution Convention many years ago now in Houston, you were passed out on the floor while I was teaching. Do you remember
it's
that?
True.
I
was so at home, I fell asleep right there.
You
on the
fell
floor.
Asleep, and I woke you up. Did I not?
Yep.
And as every preacher has ever wanted to do when somebody fell asleep in the pews. Well, Chris was so comfortable, he was on the floor.
Yeah. And, well, I stay on the floor.
Well, see, I could preach a sermon right out of that, but
there you go.
But I will not right now. But I woke you up, and every preacher is wanted to wake up people. They preach harder at the pew sitters that are passed out, and they will again this coming Sunday. But I woke you up, and you did put your head on your hand, and you kind of like elbowed up a little bit, which I appreciated. So we have known each other for a bit, but over the last couple of years, pretty much, I'd have to say you were part of the salvation of my soul, my brother, from another mother, which I appreciate so much. And so you guys who are more familiar with me than you are with Chris, please hang in there, because we're going to get some. Chris, as out there as he is with his genius and with his intellect, he's very, even extremely practical with what you just heard. I know it's kind of hard to imagine based on what you just heard in the last 10 minutes, but I'm telling you, just hang in there. Now, you heard him chuckle when the music of 2001: A Space Odyssey came back up.
My favorite movie.
Now, see, I did not know that when we decided that was going to be your theme music for Chris Harrington's Reality. So, there's something synergistic there, right there.
You know it,
right? But I'm telling you guys, just hang in there. This guy is as. The practical advice that he's giving me over the last couple of years has really, on some level, I'm still walking because of it. So just hang in there, okay? By way of introduction to the beautiful humans, who may or may not have heard you over the last several years when you've been on the webcast, certainly over the last many months when you've been on a couple of times.
Sure.
Give the folks, Chris, an idea with your teaching background. Go for it.
Well, I see myself as an intermediator, all right? Now, sometimes people mediate between two people, you know, if they have some consideration, something, you know, didn't go right, or they have emotional issues or whatever. So you're mediating between two people and trying to get them both satisfied. And so that means I have to be really neutral. In a case where I'm working with one person, it's that person's inner self, right? Working in terms of his consciousness, what it is that he says that he believes versus what he actually does. And so I mediate a person with himself, and I call that intermediation. And my main focus is effectiveness training, and therefore it's a subject that I'm going to become more effective as I go, and hopefully you do. And so it's something that's always a widening subject to me. I'm always working on that. So you'll hear me talk about effectiveness. In fact, that'll be one of the questions I'll ask a lot. You know, how effective is that? So if you never become absolutely effective, maybe we need to have a little bit of play in the wheel where we're going to say it's okay to be not absolutely effective, but at least you could be more effective than you are. So I don't want people to be like they're not going to be machines or become mechanical, but it's important that we, instead of pretending and performing, actually apply ourselves to the subject matter at hand and become more effective, and that way we'll be more real. That's where I'm really headed. In terms of effectiveness, more real is more effective. Make sense?
Yes, it does. And how possible is it for somebody to become, as you said, absolutely effective?
I don't think you can be absolutely effective. You know, if you think about people in the Bible, you know, Moses killed somebody. David did a guy kind of a bad turn. Abraham didn't exactly get his offspring in the right order.
And he was a liar and stuff.
Abraham. Yeah, people do stuff. I mean, they're very human. But, you know, I think God's working with that. And what he's saying is he can tune us up, you know, make us more aware. And that awareness, that ever-awakening awareness is what we call salvation.
Right. Would you say that Yeshua, that Jesus Christ, was absolutely effective?
Yeah, I think he has to be. Otherwise, what's the point of calling him God? If he's only partially, you know, then he gets, like everybody else in Hebrews 11, he gets a good report. Way to go, Jesus. But if he's going to be like in Hebrews 2, where he's, you know, seen as the great high priest, he's got to be absolutely effective. That way he doesn't ever have to, you know, give another, sacrifice again. He's it. One-time deal, sacrifices for himself and everybody, and we're done.
Who is the other person? I mean, you are an amazing student, period, of the human experience. But who is the other person on the planet that you're aware of historically that was absolutely effective?
Anybody else effective as Christ?
Yep.
You're playing Stump the Band. I haven't got it.
Yeah. Is it possible that only the man that proclaimed himself and that, as far as the record is concerned, could be called God in the flesh? Is it possible that there's only one human being that has ever walked the face of the earth that was absolutely effective?
Well, I think that a lot of people take a lot of stock in the Buddha or in Krishna, many different people, Muhammad. And I think that what happens is that at a certain point, you know, when you're talking about your faith or your belief, I think there's a certain point at which we have to, instead of relying on our own understanding, you've got to let go of those things. And so it's easy for me, right? So, because I'm a reading teacher, I look at things in terms of literature. It's easier for me to take the Bible as a piece of literature and simply just start looking at the consistency of it and ask myself, is there a way that I can make it consistent? So you don't have to worry about all the other religions in the world. They have their own consistencies. You know, the reason that they have adherence is that people see a consistency within those frame references, and they can say, I see it. Do you see it? So we could all be fooled, and it might be all of this is just hogwash. But rather than I have to worry about that, I think where the most of my concern is whether or not what the Bible says is saying what people say that it says, or whether or not it's supposed to be used as a standard by which we're supposed to operate and behave. So there are lots of big questions about it. But some things, like when people approach me and they say, do you think that the Bible is the Word of God? Sure, why not? I don't have to worry about that. It's not a proof. I don't have to worry about whether or not God created the heavens and the earth in 7 days, or whether or not it's, you know, a manifestation of the compiling of all these energies that come out of a Big Bang. These are things that are like way above my pay grade. I'm interested about whether or not, you know, we can be coherent citizens on the planet and whether or not we can operate together.
That's awesome. This is Glenn Klein online. That's Chris Harrington and Chris Harrington's Reality. We're talking to you live, unless you're listening on the archive, from Tampa Bay, Florida. You can call us right now at 800-436-3260. That's the toll-free number. 1-800-436-3260. That is toll-free in North America, all over the planet at 813-425-5773.
I was wondering if tonight you'd like to do a little work yourself.
No. I appreciate that, but I've been doing a good job of delaying it. I mean, this has been good stuff, and I do appreciate you digging in
as
is your want. But I want to point out one thing before we do that.
Sure.
That you were a teacher for 30 years.
33 years, that's right.
33 years.
Public school.
Yeah, right. And you have seen the human condition up close and personal. I wanted people to understand that these thoughts, these philosophies, these teachings, these coachings, this mediation has not come lightly.
It's true. It's really true. You know, in terms of practical information, I had to get right in there and get my hands and my feet dirty. You know, you can't you can't actually service and communicate to students, kids on a daily basis, you know, 15 to, you know, 18, 20 years old, unless you're willing to get right in there and get as honest as you're asking them to be. And so, you know, they were great teachers for me. I feel like I got a lot out of that experience. I'm really glad and humbled to have had it, because you certainly have not lived until a 13-year-old has read you the Riot Act.
No doubt. And for those of you that have ever been a parent of a 13-year-old or a teacher of a 13-year-old or a camp director or a camp counselor or a coach of a 13-year-old, you have not lived. I would say that the most demon-possessed, and I put that in quotes, beautiful humans, age is 12-year-olds. 12-year-olds. I don't know what it was. It was the 12-year-old age group that I always had the most challenge with at the summer camp. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to come back, and as God is my witness, see how serious I said that? I've done a good job on delaying it for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
But as God is my witness, when we come back, we're going to start digging right into your friendly neighborhood radio talk show's host, talk show host's psyche, as we return on this Wednesday night edition of The Good News on Glenn Klein Online.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling.
The Good News on Glenn Klein Online is brought to you in part by the Guru of Gratitude.com. Make money being nice. The Guru of Gratitude.com.
On the air you dance, there is a peace train. Country, come take me home again. I've been smiling lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, peace train sounding louder.
Ride on the peace train.
The Guru of Gratitude.com, 888-493-7482. You can call for more information, how to make money being nice. 888-493-7482, the Guru of Gratitude.com.
Get your bags together. Go bring your good friends too. Cause it's getting nearer. It soon will be with you. Come and join the living. It's not so far from you. Soon it will all be true. Oh, peace train sounding loud.
Ride on the peace train.
Come on, the peace train. Now I've been crying lately, thinking about the world as it is. Why must we go on hating? Why can't we live in bliss? Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country. Come take me home again. Oh, peace train sounding louder.
Ride on the peace train.
Come on, the peace train. It's peace train, holy rolling.
Everyone jump on the peace train. Come on.
Yes, come on, peace train. Hey, yes, it's the peace train.
The great Cat Stevens. I don't know what his Muslim name is. I should memorize that. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's The Good News with Chris Harrington's Reality. Dude, how great is that song?
I love that song.
Out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. That's what this show's about tonight, you guys. That's what this show's been about for 7 years. We're out on the edge of darkness, and yet we're riding a peace train. Why have I, Chris, and so many other beautiful humans around the planet that are listening to us right now and that are dead and that are yet to be born, why are they riding on the edge of darkness on the peace train, and yet they can't come into the light?
Well, we play along in the extremes a lot. You know, we, like I was saying in my introduction about myself, you know, I think that sometimes people adopt a very mechanical way of doing things because emotionally when you're engaged, it can be really painful. And so they push back and they become mechanical and they, you know, they'll perform or they'll pretend. But yeah, we talk a lot in humanity about how people wear masks. You know, we don't get to see their real faces. So somewhere between that angle of our, you know, playing at being who we are and actually being like a child who's constantly free playing and always flying by the seat of his pants, somewhere in that continuum between, you know, this kind of abject emotional poverty where we're doing things in order to look good and not caring at all and not paying attention whatsoever, there's a happy medium. And what I see as my job is to assist you in finding what your happy medium is, you know, your happy place, so that you when you're expressing yourself, you're doing it honestly and you're not doing it rotely like it's a like you're mechanical, but you're also being aware and honest and informational and at the same time essentially human by being intimate with others and being really honest, emotionally present.
Emotionally present. We do respond mechanically as we get older and older because, I mean, I like to call it patterns. We all have patterns that we become comfortable in. They become our comfort zone, our comfy blanket. And we keep repeating the patterns over and over and over again.
Sure.
We marry or hook up with the same type of person.
Absolutely.
And make the same mistakes over and over and over again.
Yeah, and it drives us crazy, but that's what we mean by crazy, right?
It drives us crazy, but that's what we mean by crazy. That's a very...
Well, we're self-actualizing, you know. We do the same thing over and over and over again. Like, we all know this quote, you know, you do the same thing over and over and over again, hoping to get a different...
result.
Yeah. But the problem is you get the same old result over and over and over again.
Right, exactly. And so
we go, what's wrong with this picture? God hates me or somebody else. It's always somebody else's fault. It's never the question that's the problem. We get addicted to these questions. We ask the same questions, and then we get the same answers. We go, why don't I get different answers? Try a different question.
Oh, my God. Can you repeat that for my sake, please?
If that question's not working for you, ditch that thing.
We're asking the same question over and over and over again, beautifully.
Yeah.
Asked, and getting a different answer.
No, getting the same answer.
Oh, getting the same. Oh, different question asking is the getting the same answer.
What's your name? Chris. What's your name? Chris. Well, if you want me to say Alfred, you can't ask me the same question. You got to ask me what's Batman's butler's name, okay? Then you're going to get somewhere. But with the same question, you're always going to get Chris.
You know, that's a beautiful thing.
Change questions.
That's a beautiful thing about Batman crossing generations, that actually this generation actually could possibly know the name of Batman's butler.
Now, hold on a second.
Look at Sean chiming in.
How do you know Batman's secret identity? How do you know he has a butler?
Because we got to look behind the curtain, my friend.
I read the script.
Exactly. And,
there you go.
And here's what we're trying to do, you guys. We're trying to look behind the curtain. We're trying to read the script. Thank you, Sean, for chiming in. All right, so here's the deal, you guys. I don't know. There are people that have been listening to the show for the better part of 7 years that I will never meet. I will never know their names, but they've been plugged in. And then there's people that I'm very close with, as are you, Chris, that are listening to the show that are also very plugged in. And then there's everybody in between that.
Sure.
But here's the bottom line. Here's what you guys need to know as far as this discussion proceeds from here and beyond. That this effort has been happening for 7 years now as of October 4th. And it has been a wonderful, incredible ride that has been primarily myself and Sean and one other producer and the genius known as Michael Williams, also, well, not too far from you in Agadosius there in Houston.
That's true.
And I call Michael a genius without reservation. And about, what has it been now? This is September, the ninth month. About 4 months ago or thereabouts, unceremoniously, I was released from all responsibilities and all association with Mike Williams Ministries and the Gospel Revolution. And that was a tough thing to absorb. If you guys want to hear the specifics about what happened from my perspective and the other people that joined in on the show, just go back to the archives and listen from early May through when Chris was on July 4th. And that'll update you. So I'm not going to go into any kind of details.
Okay,
but,
good.
Right.
We got work to do.
We have work to do.
That's right. I
thought you'd appreciate that.
Yeah.
And but know that this incredible over a decade relationship and 7 years on the radio together and just the closest of closest friendships basically disintegrated in front of my face of incredibly quickly. Now, putting aside, as Chris said earlier, anybody, including God's responsible, I personally, I don't believe God had anything to do with it other than implanting the Holy Spirit in every single human being, including me, including Mike, including Chris, including Sean, including you guys that are listening right now on the planet. Other than that, it was my responsibility, it was Michael's responsibility, and the other people that were involved in what transpired. But putting everybody else's responsibility but mine, but Glenn Klein's responsibility aside, I have got to admit to you guys that this completely and utterly, Chris, follows a pattern in my life of things that were so important to me, so crucial to me, ending, whether I quit on them or they quit on me. Now, some of the things were very bad to quit on as far as society and just even right now a periphery or peripheral view of it. Like, oh, I don't know, my 20-year marriage, my incredibly profitable business, a sports team that I was involved with that was on a championship level, a career that was incredibly... Did I just use incredibly twice, Sean? I don't like doing that as a wordsmith that I am. A very possibly profitable career. The quit in me, and we're going to be talking about a lot, you guys, about patterns and about how to break patterns. My pattern, Chris, is to quit on stuff, either to force the issue to the point where people quit on me, or I quit on it or them, including, I mean, I quit on fundamentals and evangelical Christianity. Some of these things have been very good. Even a lot of these things might be considered good, but we're trying to get away, of course, from the definition of the knowledge of good and evil. But the fact of the matter is, I have not been able to stick with almost anything. And frankly, you guys, the reason we're doing the radio show tonight is because I was on the verge of quitting this show. And after having talked to Chris and thought about it, was like, no, that would be following the pattern. And I don't want, I can't follow the pattern anymore because it's been leading me into despair. It's been unprofitable. In so many ways, at 52 years old, I am a slug. I know that sounds hard for some of you guys to hear, especially those that have been helped by what I've been doing for the last 7 years and beyond. But I'm just telling you the absolute balls-to-the-wall, honest truth. I've been a slug. Chris, why have I been a slug?
Well, let me start with this question. You're attempting to place in my mind, all right, a value that I believe doesn't exist. And if you continue with that pattern, then I will see the pattern your way, and then I'll agree with you, and then we'll have not really gotten any work done. So I'd like to throw that back and say, is this a problem of bad patterns, or is this the problem of bad perceptions?
What do you mean by that?
There's the possibility that you've taken all of the incidences of 100 million incidences that have occurred in your life. You've remembered a certain series of ones that have a certain flavor or a certain smell or a certain fragrance, and you put all those together, and you've said, see, this pattern is apparent in my life. Whereas I think those are the ones that you're sensitized to. And so what happens is you pull those out and you say, these are the patterns. But you didn't mention the other 100 million things that happened to you, just those. So those, of course, if you look at, let's say, a swimming pool full of marbles, I could pick out all the orange ones and say the swimming pool's full of orange marbles. But I didn't tell you about the other 150 million marbles that are in there that are all different colors.
So
I think this is a kind of selective hearing of your own experience, and that you've created the pattern, and from that pattern, you're creating questions that will create certain answers, and so therefore you go, see, that damn pattern is chasing me down.
Why would I do that?
Because it's convenient. It's the narrative that you like to create for yourself.
Why would I
it's
do that?
It's the string on your guitar that you can play.
Why would I do that?
Why would you do that? Again, it's convenient.
All right. So why would I want to be convenient? Why would? Or I'll say it this way, and this is true about me, you guys.
Okay.
Why would I want to be lazy?
Why would you want to be what?
Lazy.
You think that's laziness? I think that's a lot of work. I think it's a tremendous amount of work. I always noticed in class, those kids that made a C worked way less than those kids that made an F. They had to work at failing my class. I was helping them so much. I had so much materials. I had so many things going on. I was there all the time. I could ask any question they could ask. I could answer it. I could find somebody who would. And still, if they failed my class, it was like, man, you had to really work at it. Anybody could fall off of a wagon and make a C in my class, not because I was an easy teacher, but because I assisted them in understanding the material. And I think what's happened is that you've had a vast period of very selective reasoning that's allowed you to continue the same mindset over and over and over again, because it allows you to rationalize certain other behaviors within your frame of reference. If I do this or if this goes on, then I can always do X, Y, and Z. So in a way, you're kind of like a guy that says, I have a terrible memory. But if you got a terrible memory, you wouldn't be able to remember that you have a terrible memory.
Oh, there you go.
So it's kind of convenient for you to have this problem.
Well, all right. Oh, my God. See, you guys, do you understand what I've been, the kind of coaching that I've been under? Just for a second here. All right. So why would I? I'm going to forget everybody else, you guys.
Sure.
This is about me. I'm going to be.
It is about you. That's right.
Right. I'm going to be Exhibit A for whatever it's worth. I'm doing this for me. If you guys gain from it, if you benefit from it, even if you're entertained by it, if you're titillated by it, whatever, fine. I need to figure out for me why the hell I keep repeating these patterns over and over and over again, not only to my detriment, but to everybody's detriment.
I agree, and I think that it is a choice.
Right.
It's a way that you perceive things. Oh, what I like to do is I like to start at a different place.
Please.
Can we do that?
Yeah, dude, take charge.
All right. Here's the deal. If you're going to go somewhere, like on a vacation, you've got to go from where you are to where you're going to go, and you map that out, right? You say, these are the streets I'm going to have to go, or these are the highways I'm going to have to go, and I have to turn here and go there and do all that. Well, the thing is that you have to know where you are first.
Right.
All right? So we've got to set a baseline before we can say, I'm going to go from where we are to where we're going to go. I need to know where we are, so I have to ask you a very simple question.
Yes.
Why do you want to do this work?
Because I'm tired of just being frickin' in despair.
That's what you say now, okay?
Yeah.
So that seems to be the answer that you're going with.
Okay.
All right. Now, we could look at an answer like that, and we could say, okay, so let's say that we're standing out in a courtyard. It's the middle of the day, August 1st, and it is 100 degrees outside. There's not a cloud in the sky. Would you say that the sun was shining right at that moment?
Yes.
Yeah, you'd say that, but then the sun is 93 million miles away. It takes 8 minutes for the light to get from the sun to the earth, and so the light that you're seeing at that point is 8 minutes old. Are you telling me it's absolutely impossible that the sun has blown up, and in another 7 or 8 minutes we'll find out that, oh my God, the whole universe is over?
Based on just what you said, no, it's not impossible.
Yeah. So before you said yes, and now you're saying no.
Yes.
So what I want to say to you, okay, is that you're saying to me that you're really, really sick and tired of the way things have been going. You get the same answer because you're asking the same question. I got these patterns. Why do these patterns plague me? And I'm saying that's the wrong question. And the reason you have the wrong answer is you're asking the wrong question.
Fair enough. So what question?
Right, you got answers that match questions. Change questions, you get different answers.
What,
okay?
What question should I be asking?
Well, we're not there yet.
Okay.
I put a ring in your nose. You know, if you really want it, you got to put a ring on that thing, right? All right, so what is it you hope to gain during these sessions?
Dude, I just want to move forward and find out why these destructive, I don't care if you call them patterns or moments,
right,
or situations,
or the
I'm going to go back. I will keep coming back to your analogies, as you know I do.
Sure.
I want to figure out why I'm focusing on the orange marbles where there's all these 150,000
sure.
other marbles in
Absolutely.
There. Okay, so that's what I want to focus on.
Yeah. All right, so then let's go at a critical angle of what you're doing here, okay? Because you're on a program, and you've talked about Mike, and you've talked about me, and you're on this program, and it's 7 years, and all these things are happening,
right.
People are listening, all this stuff going on, right?
Right.
So if you look at the infinite number of possibilities for all the different reasons why all these things go on, part of it has to do with the choices that you've made, right?
Yes.
Because if you hadn't chosen to call me up and ask me if I'd be on the program, I probably wouldn't be on the program tonight because I would know somebody that was associated that I didn't know.
Oh, bro, if I wouldn't ask the person who had the technological understanding to get the webcast going,
yeah.
If I hadn't asked Mike if he wanted to do the webcast, et cetera, no, none of this would have happened. That's true.
So I'm just saying, you're hooking yourself up, right?
Yes.
Great. So I want to ask that same question, but I want to ask it with a little bit more of a bite to it. Are you ready for that?
Oh, sure.
Is it possible, all right, just, you know, I'm just kind of ifing, whatever, right? Let it roll. Is it possible that the only reason that you're doing this is that it can be seen as a public relations effort to somehow rehabilitate your image, even though you still believe that you have been maligned and that you really, after all, right?
Mm-hmm.
After all, that this is a stunt that will gain you ratings so that you will get advertisers to pay you to get up on the radio and make stuff up so that you don't have to go to work to a 9-to-5 job.
Let me ask you a question now.
Can I repeat that again?
Well, let me interject.
Wait, can I repeat that again?
Yeah, maybe that will clarify for me. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to know, right? Is it possible that the only reason that you're really doing this work on the radio right now, right, is that it can be seen as a public relations effort to somehow rehabilitate your image, even though you still believe that you have been maligned and that you really are, after a stunt, that it will gain you your ratings so that you can go and get the advertisers to pay you to get up on the radio and make stuff up so you don't have to go to a 9-to-5 job?
All right, so
is this how you limp along in the world?
I found that a much more clear question than the previous one. And,
okay.
And the answer is yes. The answer is yes.
Yeah. All right. So limping along, is that the level of quality that you want to be working on?
No.
Okay. All right. So let me ask you another question. How would you characterize your work with Gospel Logic and your relationship with Mike Williams, including your recent split with him publicly and your former job there?
First of all,
just characterize it.
I have to correct you, my friend. It's Gospel Revolution.
Yeah.
Gospel Logic was Mike Farmer's deal.
Right.
That's how old I am back in this. You guys.
Yeah. I got you.
I actually know who Mike Farmer is. How would I characterize it? With words or with a grade level?
Yeah, with words. I'm looking for how you'd characterize that.
I would characterize it as excellent, as loyal, as persistent, as cutting edge. Do I need to use more words?
No, you're doing fine.
Okay.
So what about your job?
My job with the Gospel Revolution?
Yeah.
Outstanding.
Yeah. if all of that is true, why is there a feeling of loss?
Because I lost, bro.
Well, that's a perception that you have, right?
Yes.
Again, you know, I don't have my tricycle that I had when I was 3 years old. I got too big for it. I had to put it away. I gave it to somebody else. Whatever happened to it, it's gone. I don't even know where it is. It's that old thing, you know, Rosebud. It's gone.
Okay.
So why can't things be able to pass through their cycle?
It's a fair question.
Okay.
All right. So here's my answer to that. Because I am not ready for those things to pass through their
okay.
cycle. That's what came to my mind right then.
I hear that, okay. and I have.
I'm not ready. I'm not ready to get off the tricycle. I got to admit.
Yeah.
And I certainly was not ready to be pushed off the tricycle.
Right. I understand that. Okay. But let's not go there. Because I want to keep it. Make sure you're talking about what you're going through. Okay. What you're going through.
What I just said was what I'm going through. I was pushed off. If you want to call it a tricycle or how whatever analogy was.
Right.
I feel like I was pushed off the tricycle based on the fact that maybe I wasn't riding the tricycle quite the way that I was supposed to be.
Right, but see, that's your perception, and you need to own your own emotions about that.
What I'm telling you is that
your emotions are like a question. You keep having the same emotions, and they keep ending you up in the same place. Because you ask me this question, why is it that I keep going through these patterns over
right.
and over and over again?
Right.
All right?
Right.
So here's the clue on that. All right? This is my baseline.
Okay.
Emotions are the basis of the thoughts that we have. And from those emotions, we rationalize what we think and believe and have faith in, and we mobilize that as our effort and our actions. So emotions, thoughts, and then actions. So if your emotions are tied up in a certain perception, you feel a certain way when things have a certain flavor, then you're going to end up with certain activities after that. So we don't have to change your thinking. We need to change your feelings.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because
so we'll tackle it from there.
All right. Because what I have taught you guys, you know, this is, by the way, this is Glenn Klein Online. That's Chris Harrington. Chris Harrington's Reality. You guys know that I'm a coach of life. Chris called himself a media. What mediator?
An intermediator.
I don't care what you call it. Both of our passions is to help people. In this point in my life, this is my go-to guy that I'm talking to and that is challenging me right on the radio. And frankly, I don't give a rip if you guys, you know, are helped by this or not, or if you're entertained by it or not, or if you already turned me off or not. I don't care. I need this. So, all right, bro, you're challenging me right now.
Yeah, I'm really challenging.
Right. Wait, hold on for a second. For the last 7 years or thereabouts, or when we came into the understanding of the salvation of our soul, we said it wasn't our emotions; it was our thought process that was the problem. You're telling me something different right now, my friend. My coach, my mediator, my intermediator.
Yeah.
What? You're telling me that my emotions are more important than the thoughts? You're telling me that my emotions affect my thoughts versus my thoughts affecting my emotions?
I'm saying that your emotions are in charge, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
How do I forget anybody else?
Let me give you some biocritical feedback on that, okay?
Okay.
In terms of recognition, we recognize people at about 600 thousandths of a second, right?
What do you mean by recognize?
It's 600 milliseconds we have a cognition. Oh, there's Glenn. But there's a whole bunch of time before that. At 400 milliseconds, you've got this, my hair is standing up on edge, and I have a sort of a positive feeling going on about, you know, what's going on. At 200 milliseconds, my eyes start to dilate, and I've got, like, salivating because all these. So you got this reactive system going on inside of you, built on the emotional charge about whether or not you're seeing somebody with a gun, whether or not you're seeing a friend, but you haven't recognized what these objects are.
Okay.
You have an emotionally charged reaction that is built up in your entire sensorium, and your neurology is saying, "Mayday, danger, Will Robinson," before you even know what it is. So let's talk about that area between 200 milliseconds and 600 milliseconds where you're actually engaging, but you haven't come to a point of cognition yet. You haven't recognized it. Previous to all these things happening, your sensorium is already kicking out. Man, I want to go see this thing. I want to go do this object. I want to go have this experience. That stuff's already engaged. And then you start activating everything around you to push the buttons to get that. So you're like a rat in a cage that's got cocaine coming at it, and you just sniff it, and all of a sudden you know everything to do in order to get going there. Because your emotions are saying, you're going to get happy if you do this.
I'm going to say this, you guys, as we close this webcast. Chris, I'm going to just say this. This is a yes or no question. Have we even begun this discussion?
Oh, I got pages of questions here, pal.
The answer is no, you guys. But, you know, we do this we do this once a week for 1 hour. So if you want to log on, by the way, if you want to talk to Chris, the man is on Facebook. Do you ever sleep, dude?
I think I slept one time in the 80s.
Except on the floor when I'm teaching?
When you're teaching, I go, you know, because I feel like when you're driving the ship, it's okay. I can take a rest. That's what it is.
I like that.
Yeah.
Chris Harrington. HERRINGTON on Facebook.
You bet. Running Turtle 87.
All right, we're just getting started. You guys, I mean, we have not. I feel better. I got to say, I got saved. Amazingly, we talked a little bit about Jesus tonight, but I thought I was terrified going into this, dude. You know I was.
Yeah, I know. You put me off and avoided this for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, I did. I did a good job. there is thing called a setup. You know, it's like volleyball. You got to set before the thing is spiked.
Yeah, it's true.
You're the spiker. I'm the setter. And we're going to continue this discussion next. Chris, thank you so much. Oh, my God. All right. Well, all right, you guys. So contact me. Contact Chris. Or don't do anything. I don't give a damn. I was going to swear right there. but I won't. I want to thank Sean O'Halloran and everybody who's listening tonight. You guys, come on. We're in this together. This is not a but I'm going to be the guinea. Chris, I will be your guinea pig. I will be my guinea.
Next time, we're not going to take 20 minutes to get going.
I got some
ripping questions.
All right, Brian, because you know me and because this is waiting, I'm going to just, I swear to God, you guys, I'm going to turn this over to Chris Harrington right from the get-go. After the 2001 Space Odyssey theme, I promise you I will turn this right over to him. All right. Okay. All right, MF-er. See how I didn't swear right there? Until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody.